And welcome back to the locker room. And we're going to talk about cricket history with, well, I suppose you're the official local historian, aren't you, Doug? Welcome to the locker room.
Thanks, Neil. Thanks for giving me the opportunity. Probably not the official historian. Simon Fiedler still holds that title.
Yep.
And I work pretty closely with Simon on all things cricket.
Which is fantastic. Now, remember early in the year when we were down at Tybe for the broadcast and you joined us for a while and had some fascinating little stories, and then you got on to Cy McAvoy and got some stuff into the leader this week, and it prompted us to think, well, we really should have a good long chat with Doug on while all the guys are driving down to the cricket and listening in.
Yep, that's always happy to do that.
So let's start off with your interest in cricket history. Where'd that actually come from?
Well, I started playing when I was probably 9 years old in 1963 at Tybe. Come through the, at that time, I only had under 16, so that was where I started. And it always, cricket's been my passion, I suppose you would say. There was no under 14s or under 12s then. You just had to be as a little tacker that I was. You had to mix it with the big boys, and I sort of tried to do that. Finally fought my way up through the years into the Tybe seniors, which I absolutely loved, and my love of cricket has come through Tybe. Even though I did go and play 1 year at Crib Point, passion of being part of a club is something I think all young guys and girls, if they get into it, they love it.
So when you were younger, were you the sort of guy to sort of pour through the score books and start having an interest in that side of thing? I'm just wondering about when you actually thought about the history side of it all.
Yeah, it's probably, I look back through, I've got all the old Tybe score books, and my mum and dad used to let me run down the little ground at Tybe. You know, they knew where I was every Saturday afternoon. And I look at those books now and I look at the scorer's signature. Mm. And there's a lot of time, there's my name on it when I was probably only, 10 or 11. And sometimes you get a little field in the seconds if someone had to go home early or whatever. So, yeah, I think there was a bit of that love of collecting data or, just browsing through those school books has always been with me.
Doug, tell us about the notes I've got here. It says that you tracked down an extra premiership that Tybe won early last century. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Simon and I have been looking at early times before there was associations, and we come across an early association which was called the Dicker Association. It went for about 5 or 6 years, and from that we kind of went through some papers, and there was at times written up that so-and-so club was the premier team for that year. So with a bit of research, we all sort of started to agree that those clubs should be given the right to say they were the premiers. So that's where it sort of come out of. And then going through each game each week, Tybe had obviously won far more games than anybody else. So it sort of stemmed from there. It probably grew a bit of legs when I got into the paper, but it was really just from research.
How old's Tybe as a club?
Tybe started in 1892-93 was the first official year, although we have found a game in 1889.
And, of course, there are a lot of clubs started in that year, at least Crib Point and Boney. There's several in our area, but didn't that follow the Dr. Grace's tour, I believe? And that really,
well, it did, yeah. That was part of it. And also the railway line. That was the big thing that comes through on Western Port, following, Mornington Junction, which is now Baxter, through to Somerville, through Tybe, down to, Crib Point, and through Bitten. See, Bitten had a team in those early 20s, 30s and 40s, and they were one of the strong clubs.
Now, one of the challenges, I think, it's easy nowadays when you just jump on the My Cricket and you can see who made how many runs and how many overs and everything, but what sort of sources did you have to use to track down some of the early history?
Mainly through the local newspapers, which came out every week.
So the public libraries and all that, Doug?
From the state library, from Frankston Library, which has got some old papers, even the Rosebud Library have got some as well. So it's about just trolling through that. And if you come to my place, you'd find I've got pages printed out from all those early copies that I've made over the last 15 years, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely fascinating. Now, what one of the things you talked about to Simon McAvoy during the week was about runs and centuries. Now, you sent to me about the runs, and we worked out that Shane Biggs has the record for the season, not counting finals, of 955.
Yep.
Who were some of the other ones that were prominent in that list?
The other ones? Well, I think
Arthur Robertson was one of them.
Arthur Robertson was a player in the early 50s. He made 904 one year.
Gee. And there was another fellow, Rodney Bright, Main Ridge. He also got 900, yep. I believe.
Yep, Robbie Bright was... I've gone through the Main Ridge books, and I didn't really know much about him, but he's also... I think we might have had a brother too that played at Rosebud. I think it was Rodney, or I'm not sure of that, but they were part of the old Southern Peninsula Cricket Association, which, and I would just like to make a point on, when they merged with the NPCA in 1964,
yep.
Bryce Phillips did a book, and I suppose you've got a copy of that book, Neil. If you haven't, you want to try and get your hands on one.
I'll certainly chase that one, yeah.
Yeah, it's got so much history, and I was lucky enough to borrow his originals for notes and stuff, and that really helped compile a lot of that early stuff, as well as going through papers.
Now the other thing I found out is when you start to add finals in, of course, Peter Finney's
that's correct,
got 1353 because he had such a fantastic final series in 71-72. Yep. I was also found out that with Shane Beggs, at the year that he got the 955, he made 108 in that semi-final for Flinders as well.
So, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting when you... Because a lot of the records don't have finals in them, do they?
No, that's right, yeah. But I have done a bit of that, you know, since I've been sort of talking to you last time. And,
sure.
You know, with Simon, I have sort of started to compile with the finals as well, and I've quite completed all that. And I've also started to put together a history of certain batsmen and certain bowlers who I've picked out who have been the champions of our competition over the last 130 years, and compiled what their total runs are. So if you look like a Bob Thompson from French Island, I've got him with over 17,000 runs.
Wow.
In senior cricket, that's not... No, lower grades, that's all senior cricket.
So the record number of runs, how many games a season was that?
Well, they did vary. Sometimes in the Southern Peninsula, they used to have just one-day games. So sometimes they'd play 18 or 20 games a season, which is far different than what we play now with 11. But then again, in the 1990s, the late 90s, we were playing 14 games a season. So there is a bit of a, you know, swings and roundabouts, I suppose you'd say.
So Chris Brattain's well on track, Neil.
Well, he is. He's
well, he's on track, yeah.
There he is. He's going very well, and he might, you know, he's got another game to go, plus finals. Now, the other thing which was interesting was centuries, which came up, and you've got Gareth White pretty high up there, so that was sensational. 21 tonnes for Gareth.
That's right, yeah. He's the, you know, I suppose, the modern player that's leading that tally.
And some of the other ones in that list, I'm just having a look.
Well, Bob Thompson again, 49.
Yeah. Wow.
I did speak to young Robert over at French Island one day, and he said that his father always told him that he's got about 50. So it's nearly on target with what, I suppose what you say is the family hand and down stuff, you know.
49 meant 50 to me, Neil. Yeah. That's good
pretty
enough.
Pretty close, isn't it? Yeah. And of course, another one was Rob Bedford, and 30 tonnes, I believe he had.
Yeah, and I reckon it'd be a lot more than that.
Yeah. So, I think Coringle, aren't some of their records missing for a couple of years there at Coringle?
I haven't actually gone through the Coringle books yet.
Okay.
I know they're there. I did speak to Pindy Cooper.
Yep.
12 months or so ago, and I know they've got some of them out the back.
Fantastic.
And that's the other problem, is getting around and getting access to other clubs' books, you know.
Yeah.
What about clubs like, for instance, I know Belvedere had a side, they were in the round in the 80s. Did they have a first side back then?
Yes, they did.
Yeah. Okay, did you get access to those books at the time,
Dave? No, not as yet. We're hoping someone's got them in the garage somewhere. And again, if people are listening, I'm the man to come to.
All right, so yeah, anybody who's got some of that sort of information, and most people have got someone in, or a couple of people in the club who've got bits and pieces from the past, and if they can get that onto Doug Dial at
Or contact the Locker Room Facebook page, or, and we'll put you in contact
with
Doug. Contact
us and we can put you onto Doug, and because the more of that stuff we get, the better, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Just out of the story from last week, I did get a note from Wayne Landry telling me that Jack Peacock did make 814 that year, 66-67. So it generates a little bit, and hopefully more people come out and say, you know, I've got something here that you might find worthwhile.
Oh, not offhand, Doug, how many wickets for Neil Williams?
Well, I haven't bothered to do anything yet.
No, smart move here. I know that answer, but it doesn't matter.
Bonio got a great book, though.
Yeah, Ian Dale's done a superb job over the years putting that together.
That's one thing about it. There's some great scorers.
Yeah, and some great record keepers around the place.
Exactly, yeah. So the books are kept pretty smicker.
One other thing I'd like to mention with you, Doug. Jeff Slocum, who was Hastings and Tyabe, of course.
We like to say Tyabe
and Hastings, go that way. But 32 centuries, I think I read in the paper. But I also noticed that a couple of times he's picked up 60 wickets in a season as well as a bowler.
That's right, yeah.
That's a pretty impressive effort, isn't it?
Because I was lucky enough to play with Jeff, and probably the best cricketer that I have seen or played with on the peninsula. You know, he could just turn a game in with bat and ball, and even with the field. He had hands grabbing them like no problems, you know.
Sensational hands, a slow bowler. I can remember one day at Mount Eliza, the game was over at about 4:30, so they had an hour or 18 overs to bat or something, and Slocum was 110, not out stumps. Yeah. But he often peeled off that sort of thing too, didn't he?
He did it
quickly, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm still missing records from when he played at YCWN Seaford as well, so he could well have a few more.
Had more than that, yeah.
Bart Hutchins been at both them clubs,
yeah. Yeah, Bart might be able to track him down for us. Now,
Now,
the other thing we noticed, Doug, so far you're thinking you've delved back to 1870, as you mentioned before.
Yep.
You've come up with the figure that so far you've tracked down 8,700 centuries.
That's correct, yeah.
Gee, that's an amazing figure, isn't it?
It is. What I decided to do, originally I thought, you know, I was only interested in doing the provincial district sub-districts or that level.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, you know, if this is only going to ever be done once, so I decided to do a game-by-game record of all senior cricket right down through the grades.
Wow.
I've created a database with every year with all those fixtures keyed in. And when I find a result or, you know, and who made runs that day or we're taking wickets, I put it in. And so it's all going to be there one day, whether we can actually get it uploaded into My Cricket.
Be great, wouldn't it?
You need to talk to the tech people. But
yeah.
That'd be a huge file, wouldn't it? Enormous.
Well, it would be, yeah.
So, Doug, just give listeners some idea, how many hours a week, on average, would you be putting into building up all these statistics and the numbers that you've got?
Look, probably at least 10 hours a week. I'm not working it now, I'm retired, so it gives me a little bit more time. But I'm doing a lot of, we're putting all the old tired books into a database at the moment, so that's taking a lot of my time. But I do cruise in and out of both projects, as well as trying to still keep a little bit of the footy stuff going as well.
We talked about good record keepers, Ian Birch over at Tyabe.
Ian's very good at the moment for you guys, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right. It's great to have. And when you look back at books and you can see the talent of the people who, like say, do the scoring, it's just fantastic to have a regular person. And I know Heather Hill May Holt when you see the other end. Look, it's immaculate.
Mm.
And I think most clubs have now probably got a scorer, and although sometimes this year in sub-district we've found a couple of clubs who haven't, but in general, I think you always find a dedicated person within a club who's prepared to do that.
I know as a kid, Doug, we had Pippi Sonata at Mornington. And,
yeah, very good Pip too.
Over in America now, Pip.
Yeah, Pip was fantastic. Yeah, no, Rick Stevens did it for a while. Gary Fern's doing it now. Obviously, Simon's done it as well. We've had some great record keepers there.
Yeah, Pip was always good for a tip too.
Yeah. Just another name I noticed on the bowlers list, and you might be able to tell us a bit about, at Red Hill, if you go back, Gordon Humphrey in the 30s, he's had 100 once, 100 wickets another time, and then 98 another time. What have you found out much about Gordon Humphrey as
not
well?
Not really, no. I believe he was a slow bowler, but I haven't delved into too much. I'm waiting on getting into the Red Hill people and finding a bit more about a couple of those. Matt Edwards is another one from Red Hill who had a fantastic career when you look back. He's played for about over 30 years at the highest level. And these are people who are being dedicated their life to their cricket clubs and just cricket in general.
And the other thing, we'll let you go in a moment, but the other thing you notice when you start looking at the list is some of the other clubs that used to exist, and you mentioned, I think, Bitten, was it, that you mentioned?
Yep.
And the Naval Depot, they pop up. Are there any other names like that of the clubs that no longer exist? Yeah.
If I just go with you now, I'll tell you this.
Frankston RSL had a side there for a while, I think.
Who was that, sorry, Mike?
Frankston RSL, I think, had a side. Or Frankston Bombers or something they were called.
Yeah, Frankston Bombers as well. 71 different clubs we've found.
71, gee.
Yep, and that includes ones like the Shoreham had a team.
Yep.
Red Hill South Shoreham, they joined Rosebud Colts.
Mm-hmm.
Mount Eliza Club.
Okay. It's
different than Mount Eliza.
Yeah.
Mornington Diggers, obviously, is one that's folded in recent years.
Yeah.
Well, Cannanook, which became Delacombe Park.
Yeah.
Hastings Rovers.
Okay.
They played at, I believe, in Salmon Street. You know, on the corner there where the elderly sit is?
Yep.
Yep, they had a ground there.
Okay.
The Hastings Methodist. This is where they still are.
And I think Morning Star also had a team on stage, and at least they've a couple of the priests were very good batsmen. Yeah.
Yeah, the fathers used to. They ran the whole team. It was. I do remember seeing them playing in a final at Pye when I was young.
I reckon, no doubt, Doug, you would have seen this book, but when Mornington had their 150th year a few years ago, Terry O'Keefe put out a fantastic book, and I'm sure you'd have a copy of that.
I have.
It's a great book, isn't it?
It is. It's good. Yeah.
I've actually got the job of writing the 175th year, Neil, apparently. So
okay. You better get cracking, Michael.
Yeah, I better have all this information stored away like Doug does, I think.
Yeah,
it'd be nice to see, and I know that I say this, and here I am at Tyab, and I haven't produced a book yet, but some of the clubs, it would be fantastic if they could put something together, now whether it's even online, just so it records their history or in perpetuity, you know, because We're only here for a little time, but there's others that come later.
That's true.
And it's important, not only just in cricket and football, but, you know, I think about all the sporting clubs across the peninsula and how much do they actually know about their history and where they come from and who started it. And these were mostly, you know, in some cases, pioneer people who they worked 6 days a week and yet they still had time to wander down and do the things that they did to keep a community together.
Early in the year when we were at Flinders, Jim White had a book which had some fascinating information in that. I don't know whether you've seen a copy of that.
Yes, I've got. Is that the one that Tony Munday?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I have got that copy. I've got one from Clint.
Yeah, that's fantastic
really
information,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I believe Heather Hill has also got a book together.
Okay.
I haven't got a copy of that one, but...
We have to get on the Normie.
But there's also clubs who yet don't know about their history.
That's true.
Yeah, and that's probably where I can come in and help now. I'm all prepared to do that.
which is fantastic. Look, yeah. It's been absolutely fascinating chatting with you, Doug. Some great information there, and when we just scratched the surface of it, really. So yeah. We certainly will keep talking to you from time to time, because there's some brilliant, brilliant stories there. And as you said, any clubs out there have got some information, or they want some hints as to how to compile some of that information, just get on to Dougie. Put a message on the Facebook page here, or contact Tyabe Cricket Club, and there'll be plenty of people there who'll pass that information on to you. And I'm sure you're happy to and continue supporting people in that one.
Absolutely. Anyone wants any help, give me a yell. I'm always prepared to listen. If not, just lead them in the right direction.
Fantastic, Doug. Great chatting with you. It was a ripping time.